What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. I'm your host, Lotus of Doom, this week. Tom is held up. He's got a migraine. So for this Patreon chat, which is also a week late because we had the holiday thing, so it's a whole mess of show going on right now. It's going to be me, Rob the Princess. Hey, Rob. Welcome back.
Hello.
As usual. And Blinding Vision returns this month. How you doing, buddy?
Been a long year. Glad to be back.
I hear that. 2025 needs to like end anytime. Yeah, would be great.
It's been a little much.
So we are just going to jump right into this. It's a kind of a smaller roundtable chat here, but what we wanted to discuss is, with all the potential hype, and we've been talking a lot about Elder Scrolls 6, you know, it's been kind of more in the news yet again, for better or worse, because sometimes it's just nothing burgers, other times it's like, oh, actual interviews talking about it. We're going to talk about what race we would like to see potentially added to the next game, because this is something that throughout the series has happened more than once, where you will either have an enemy type or just someone you interact with that you can't play as at another point in the series become a playable part of the series. And it's been quite a few years since we've had a playable edition. So if Elder Scrolls 6 comes out and we get a new playable race, who would we like to see? Rob, you seemed quite adamant about your choice, so why don't we start with you and you can discuss why it's Reachman.
I wasn't say adamant. I just feel like, because I made the joke before recording, it was just that, obviously we're just all going to spend the next hour talking about Reachman, because that is the most popular one. It's not necessarily my pick. It's just like the obvious one that everyone always calls to all the time. It's
sure.
And the most in demand and the most likely, probably.
Yeah, unplayed fan favorite, kind of, for
exactly.
Real.
And I mean, yeah, it's if we were to get another race to be another character choice option in character creation, I think it would have to be the Reachman, if not some like plot specific thing like, oh, we are directly going to this place where we're going to see sea elves, so we're going to play sea elves, or we're going to see Yakudans because they actually do exist again, and so for Yakudans is going to be a separate option as well. You know, if there was a specific plot point, yeah, but otherwise the default would just be Reachman, because they're just so beloved and very interesting, and the only reason they weren't playable is because they were like too savage and not enough lore, but now they have so much lore, and
yes,
that lore has kind of expanded on them to not be as savage as they were once painted as.
Right, and kind of to jump off that I like is the fact that Elder Scrolls Online has really, really, really given a ton of background to them. That, I mean, yeah, okay, there's however many million people that played the Elder Scrolls Online, but it's still not the amount of people that played the Elder Scrolls Skyrim. So like, a lot of these people will not actually necessarily have experienced any of this, and they can blend it into the next game because it's already sort of been established, and you just have to kind of put it forth to people, which I think to many might come across as like, oh, look at all this new stuff. And it's like, well, you might have missed where it came from originally, but now more people are exposed to it, type of thing. So yeah, they've got a much deeper foundation for having them be a playable race, the same way that, you know, Argonians and orcs and even Imperials and stuff like that have been added to the series along the way, where it's just kind of like, yeah, you're part of the series, and now you're part of the series with a background, now you're part of the series with a rich history. Like, so
yeah, and every kind of peoples in the game, kind of, if you weren't already a playable race from the get-go, you were seen as like, oh, you're a savage being and you have no culture and history, and like you know, Elder Scrolls 1 Arena, that was kind of like everyone who's not a playable race is just seen as that in some variation. Right. And even some of the playable races were still seen as that.
Right.
And the more you learned about the people, it was like, oh, well, that's just like the unreliable narrator. There's a lot of racist people who just assume that these other people of a different culture can't associate with my society because they just speak a different language. So obviously they're speaking mumbo jumbo and they don't know how to do anything.
Communicate with you in the Elder Scrolls Arena. Neither did Lizard Mans.
I was going to say the Lizard Mans. That was the point I was bringing up. But they weren't a playable race, right? I tried doing Arena. Man, it's older than me, first
it's
off.
It's a pro. But that makes me very sad because I'm older than it. But
And I do want to kind of segue that point into not because I, again, Reachman probably wouldn't be my choice. It's just the one I think is a popular choice.
Sure.
Yep.
But another example of that is very apt would be the Minotaurs, which were literally seen as completely uncivilized. And the more we learned about them, it was like, oh, they were actually the beginning of society, one could argue.
Right.
It would be harder to put into, though. Like, it's going to be wildly different, like body size,
models. Sure. Yeah. But that's... The Minotaur thing is interesting, just the same way that it's more so like not of this Kalpa type of deal, but like the way that dregs seem like they were just like a whole different thing.
World at one point or something.
Right.
Like, and it's like just, they were kind of the foundational. It's like, you know, saying that the Mesopotamian people of our world obviously don't know how to like have a society. It's like, well, no, they were the ones who actually created and perfected the concepts of society, and we're thankful for everything that they did. That's the Minotaurs of Tamriel. We would be nothing without them.
Yeah, that's kind of a wild concept that I had not thought of. It's like Minotaurs, like have another beast race type of thing. Because I think the natural inclination. Unless blinding, you have like a totally different one than I do. But I find like when we have race editions, oftentimes it's just like a humanoid race edition. I mean, orcs aren't exact, but they're humanoid, but it's like a little different. But like,
I don't know, starting to sound a little racist towards orc here.
If I could choose orcs part two as my race, I would. That's fair.
Still more orcs.
But that's who I would want. That's not necessarily what I think is going to happen, because of course that's not going to happen, but it would be really cool.
Yeah, no, but it would also just be cool to add another beast race into the category, because most of it's pretty grounded, and then it's just like you look at Khajiits or Argonians, it's like, oh, okay, that's totally different than...
Yeah, the Khajiit are pretty crazy too. A lot of fans, those are the most interesting parts of the world.
I know.
Like, oh, those Argonians are so weird. What's going on with them? Hey, those Khajiit got a lot going on. Well, I want to learn more about them. I don't care about the humans or the elves. Tell me more about those guys.
Yeah. And have you looked at the different, what, is it Firstock?
Firstock, I was about to say. You got many Firstocks at your disposal. And
it's based on like what the phase of the moon they were born in.
Right.
Or if the moon was there.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's some... Like a house cat can give birth to a massive 8 foot tall.
I know it.
Thundercat looking thing.
I love thinking of
that. I'm aware.
Just the way the physics behind that would work.
Well, and they don't give birth like the way
you form into. Really? It's like you grow into it, basically. I would assume. That. Yeah, I would assume that if you are.
All of the babies are roughly the same size, and then they become the first stock that they were born
into. It'd be kind of interesting, like an elfeek, and then it's like, oh yeah, no, I had a little elfeek. Oh nope, wrong moon sign. They're gonna get a mega growth spurt, and now they're like, you know, a centrot or something like that, as opposed to popping out and like ripping the other one in half or something. So they grow into their shoes.
I didn't realize that, but the Elder Scrolls Online, the Elsewhere expansion, it has at least one character that I recall running into where he was like the normal Khajiit that you know and love, and his like mother was an important character for like the quest line.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yes,
I don't remember the name. I remember the character, but
yeah.
Yeah, she was the priestess.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No, for sure. So, and to your point, I agree. More often than not, those tend to be the most intriguing to people, oftentimes. Maybe not the most, like, I don't know. People seem to like the idea of just like, oh, well, you need to have it accessible to a wide audience. And then if it gets too weird, people won't get it, type of thing. And I think. I think recently, with nerd culture becoming more popular, that doesn't fit it the same way that it used to fit.
I mean, it definitely does if you let it, but it doesn't have to. That's just like what if you let capitalism steer your decisions and you're like, what's going to make the most money? Then, yeah, you do the most broadly popular choices. But if you
Right,
want to
but.
make good quality things, then you'll get a cult following and those fans are more loyal. And yeah, that it's
But I
just
would.
whatnot. Big
The thing
corporations do.
is, too, because I think that was sort of the thing. It was like, well, can you get a loyal cult following? But at this point, because nerd culture in general has kind of been so broadly accepted as a whole, you get things like, Game of Thrones, which looked pretty grounded for a season or two. And then by the end, you've got zombies and dragons and all this nonsensical crap.
And a white horse that no one wants to explain.
Yes, also that. You've got, comics, which used to not be a thing. Like, nobody really, it was like, oh, that's super nerdy. And now it's just like, dude, those are the most mainstream movies under the sun, to the point of like, they've lost some of the fans originally just because they're so mainstream. Like,
Well, and that's my point, is like it doesn't nerdy doesn't necessarily have to mean what it means anymore because there are still
right.
those mainstream versions of it, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
Right,
which
but
has
I.
become its own popular.
Exactly, but more so, like, to your thing that you're bringing up, it's like being weird and stuff like that, I don't think is the same thing that people don't attach to. Like, I mean, Fallout, it's about to have its second season type of thing. And it had a really good feel. Like, it had the feel of the games. I loved season one. And it was just like, oh, yeah, no, this seems kind of grounded. And then as soon as you get into it, it's like, okay, we got like mutated ghouls and stuff like that. And totally mainstream. Everybody's just fine with it. It's just like, it's not a leap for people to get into that stuff anymore, I don't
Agreed.
feel like.
It was
Agreed.
definitely,
It's.
yeah, it was more risky, even like 5 years ago to release something like that. Are people gonna like it? Are they gonna even get it?
It's
Kind of
far
thing. And
easier
it's,
to include the weird stuff today, but unfortunately, companies still won't because they'd rather aim for the popular broad
without
strokes.
a
But
doubt.
they definitely could. I
Yes.
that
Yeah.
yes.
Well, it's a business. I mean, it's a business. I mean, like, they got to make money to keep making games. They want to appeal to as broad an audience as they can. And I think Elder
Hours, a
Scrolls
lot
is,
of them.
yeah, for the most part, has kept to at least a core, like, this is how our games feel, at least in the Elder Scrolls line. Even going back to, like, when I tried to play Arena, it still kind of felt like, this just kind of weird thing that fit the games I've played more recently. It's still kind of like wildly, vastly different, but the general feeling behind it's the
Yeah, like
same.
the vibe to it, for lack of a better phrase.
With the exception of Morrowind, of course, but that was kind of the point of Morrowind.
Yeah, and
Right.
it proved that it worked, though. That
Exactly.
thing works.
Ironically, weird in that situation, launch padded them into like, oh, we aren't going bankrupt.
It
Now,
let
can we
them
then
express more weird.
Exactly. Like, and it kind of being, well, how can we take what we've got and make it a little more wide, a little more of an appeal? And then the following one was, the next one was a little more, but it's like, it's really just striking that correct balance of how do you have an appropriate amount of weirdness to be intriguing, but not weird for the sake of weird or completely milquetoast.
And I think Skyrim really nails that because the people who don't care much are just going to see what's
Yes.
in front of them, and it all looks like a pretty generic fantasy game.
Yeah,
And the
generic
people who are
Vikings and
invested
dragons.
are going to read the books, are going to pay attention to the dialogue, they're going to explore more, and they're going to
Yes.
understand that this is not your typical fantasy world. This is a crazy place that's unhinged and doesn't make any sense. And
Yes,
absurd.
that's the thing. I almost feel like having that like surface level, yeah, this is just kind of generic, whatever, is a good way to get people into a fun gameplay loop. And then once they're messing around because it's fun, that's when you hit them with the like, hey, this is our actual vision here. It's up to you whether you want to look into it. The Souls
likes, as weird as you let it be.
Yeah, Souls likes as it seemed to do that a lot, where it's just like, yeah, a lot of the lore to those games, yo, that's on you whether you give a crap. Otherwise, you're a knight smacking things.
I think that should be the way, you know, kind of things are, is like the game as a whole should be a fun experience. How weird you want to go with it is developer preference. The game, right, I was mentioning earlier, it you can play it as just like you're a knight or a wizard beating up monsters, or you can read into some of the things going around, and it gets pretty strange. Like there's some crazy things going on.
Are you talking about the Tainted Grail game?
Tainted Grail, Fall of Avalon. Yeah.
Yes. I've got to check that out myself.
Definitely recommend it for anyone that's looking for a generic or vaguely Elder Scrolls-y feel.
Yep. Not sponsored, but if you want to send me a copy, whoever you are, feel free.
Tell you what, I'll send you one in just a minute.
You're good. I got it. I actually have my buddies that linked it on my PlayStation. It's like, pay attention to this.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, go ahead and do that.
It
works on PC or on console. I play on Xbox.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does look a bit better on a little cleaner on PC.
Sure.
It's going to, but yeah, it's a fun experience regardless.
Yeah, no, and that's what I think games need to test it out. All right, so I mean that I feel is totally an understandable suggestion type of thing, and I like the kind of weird Minotaur side tangent. What were you thinking of blinding, like if you were given a choice, what would you I guess want to come in with? Do you have anything that you
mine's not going to be anything crazy. This is what I think has a potential, and I've definitely heard the most people talk about, mm-hmm, is some sort of Daedra.
A playable Daedra?
Yeah, it comes up in pretty much any topic that gets along these lines. They're a sentient race. They roughly the same size as the humanoid
creatures.
You wouldn't have to rework way too much. They already kind of exist in the game. Like, they're going to be there. I think it'd be interesting. Me, personally, I'd like some of the almost extinct races, ones that you don't see that are kind of still around, and like they're there, but like you don't even really see them. Like Rob was mentioning earlier, sea elves. Are the left-handed elves still a thing? Is that
we don't necessarily know who the left-handed elves are.
Seems like they're gone, but
yeah, things like that.
Quotes seems like.
I think it was rumored that they are the sea elves, but that was also unconfirmed.
Right. It's like, are they the sea elves? Did they all die at Yakuta? Like, who knows?
Dwemer, a lot of people want the Dwemer. I don't. I like the idea of that air of mystery for them specifically, because you interact with so much of their society. I like that that's kept secret. I think that's pretty cool.
I actively, and I'm sure plenty of people don't want to hear this, I actively do not ever want them to explain the Dwemer. Explain the Dwemer. Yeah.
What I will say is those are not mutually inclusive. You can have one and not the other. You can have the Dwemer come back, be a playable race even, and when they do come back, they'll be like, yeah, we have no clue what happened.
Even weirder, have their return and then still not get an explanation.
I think I'd like hyper strange. An ancient,
I don't think that would happen, but like,
I don't know either, Elder Scrolls. That's an interesting twist to have. Like, yeah, no, they're back, but what why?
And no one even knows what happened to them in the first place, or why they came back.
Forever ago, before Elder Scrolls Online actually released, when they mentioned just kind of the generic, hey, it's going to be set before pretty much all the events that you've ever played, I was like, they have an opportunity to make it more of like an ancient Elder Scrolls game where you could play all those races, like the Falmer before they turned into what they are now. The Dwemer could be around. You don't have to explain what happened to the Dwemer, but they can be a playable race in a almost pre-sequel to the Elder Scrolls series. The Khymer, all of it. Like you could have an entire game where fundamentally the characters and the races that are there are the same, but they're like the ancient ancestors of modern day Tamriel.
Yeah, the Kothrangi, the silver humans.
And I mean, we've seen
like fox like people too.
The fox the people, Lilmothi, and then there's the ape people in the Empire or Cyrodiil. I can't remember their name right now, but there's a bunch of races that fell off.
Right, so that's actually kind of interesting, especially because, like, to your point, like sometimes we see like a one-off version of them too. Granted, we're talking about playable races, but it's like, you know,
that was the ape people.
Elves. So the snow elves, it's like we hear about the snow elves, we see the Falmer from these like warped versions of the snow elves, and then you meet the one snow elf. It's like, okay. Cool. So you kind of get a gauge for that. And it's interesting when you kind of cross paths a little bit, but it's just like, you know, technically we meet Yagan Bregarn, whatever. So it's like, out of shape.
Was he actually a dwarf, or was he, because there's like debate about that too.
He's all corpusy. I assume that's why he looks like that. But he mentions that he doesn't know what happens to his brethren because he was off in a Oblivion plane or whatever it was exactly. I don't remember. I haven't read his dialogue recently, but something along those lines. So sometimes you kind of bump into, there's a couple of ESO side quests that you do bump into like one Kothringi who's remaining type of thing. And I believe there they was
were
a
wiped out by the flu, and the flu happened.
Yes, like, the Nohan flu before. Knocked them out. That got rid of them. So it's like, to your point, it's interesting because sometimes you just get a glimpse of something that's basically gone, but it's like, oh, well, there's like one left.
And you can realistically do that without explaining any of like what actually happened. You set it far enough ahead of that, and then whatever storyline that they go with ends before like the Dwemer disappear or whatever happens, you know?
Right.
But also now that we're in the future, past Skyrim, dragons are back. Dragons are sentient beings. They're everywhere.
Yep. Well,
that would be just too much to try and play a dragon. You realize how unwieldy movement would be with that?
I'm not talking about what's going to happen. I'm talking about cool to happen.
Yeah, it'd be cool, but did you even try? One of the DLCs for Skyrim,
Dragonborn. Fly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
Not as cool as it sounded at first, but
it was kind of fun to do and just like blast stuff, but it was very difficult to handle.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. We've mentioned the one that I think is actually, I don't know. I figure if we're going to get another race, this is almost like a given too. I was thinking the sea elves, the Maumer, would be almost like,
They're like probably number two or three on most likely.
Because I was going to say, like right alongside with Reachmen, they've had a lot of their history fleshed out a lot more with the Elder Scrolls Online. But on top of that, like they are tangentially related to so many things that happen.
Yeah.
But unlike interacting with them the same way we were fighting Reachmen in Skyrim, it's always just like, oh, yeah, just out of frame, there's this huge fight with the Maumer. It's always just like, and just out of frame, this happened. And, oh, man, last week, this siege, it's like, okay, why are we always missing just what happened? So I would think that that's almost like another very potential. Plus, I guess this logistically, it's like, okay, add another skin style to the Mer. I mean,
it really is like there. It's a pretty practical include in the game if you're looking at the realism of like, could we do this? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Because
in the earlier games, it was thought that they're very like crazy high fantastical creatures that like are above the rest of the mortals. They're like these super advanced elves or something like that. And then the more we learn about them in game and through the lore, it's like, oh no, these guys are mostly just dudes
who they connect really well with nature magic, so as a side effect they are much more imposing as long as you're on the seas. If you're on land, they're just kind of generic ass pirates.
You could say the same for wood elves on land, and so it's like, unrealistic to have them be a playable character.
Yes, and it's why it's cool that the unreliable narrator kind of has the situation where until you understand more about him, it seems like this mystical, unstoppable force. And then when you find out, it's just like, oh, it's everyone's perception of this thing they do not understand, which always seems much more ominous or impressive than when you understand how it works, because there's that aura of mystery. It's why I don't ever like them. Like, I want the Dwemer to stay that aura of mystery. Stuff like this, it's like, yeah, no, you can fill this out. And they have, I think in a lot of ways they could do it just fine, but like some of these, specifically they've done it with Bretons, they've unalienized, I don't know what you would call
normalized.
Normalized, we'll go with that, like them, so it's just like it's more
or demystified, another word.
Demystified's a good way, but it's like originally if you see any of the original artwork of them, it was like they were much more spindly.
They were kind of creepy.
They were kind of creepy, and now they're definitely not creepy. They're just
dudes.
They're really just dudes with French names that we found out.
Oh God, that's worse.
I'm not really sure why most of them have French names in ESO, but it's just it is what it is. But yeah, so like they, you know, once they're demystified, it's kind of like, okay, so I could see them just being another. Hey, it's not a human race. Like, it's not just another type of human. The way you've got Red Guard and Imperial and Nord, it's like, okay, it's varying degrees of just human. This could at least be like another, hey, it's not just another human race, because they do look distinct from the other elven races, but they still could functionally work like them. I could see their skills being worked in, like as their race skills and stuff like that, pretty easily. Get that breathe underwater skill that only Argonians have. So interestingly enough, okay, so I feel like most of those kind of fit. Do you think we're going to get another race is where I want to go with this next, or do you think they're going to stick with what we've got?
I think they're going to stick with what we got.
You don't think they're going to expand it?
I'm always kind of a pessimist when it comes to like when people think of like what is literally going to happen in the future. I'm a super pessimist. When I think of like what could happen, I'm a believer, I'm an imaginer, I'm a dreamer, all of that. But I just, I don't think we're going to get a new race. When did Imperial become playable? Was it in Oblivion or was it Skyrim?
I'm pretty sure it was Oblivion when we got Imperials. Oof. Now I'm curious.
Oblivion definitely had them. I don't know before that. So if
they definitely wasn't before Oblivion, it was either Oblivion or Skyrim. And I think it was Oblivion. It'd be weird if you went to Cyrodiil and you couldn't play as an Imperial. I don't remember, to be honest. So I mean, we already went one whole game without and getting a new race. I don't think we got a new race in Morrowind. I think we did get. Argonians were playable in Daggerfall.
Imperials actually were playable in Morrowind.
Oh, they were?
I guess. Oh, this seems like a crappy thing. I don't know if I believe this. I think they were in there, but
let me check the UASP.
That's what I'm on right now. Oh. My first result was not the same. Playable races, Argonian, Breton, Dark Elf, High Elf. No, Imperial is.
What?
Yep.
I swear it took forever for them to become playable.
Yeah, no. Imperial.
Well, I guess like, that still is pretty late, but we didn't.
Well, sure. I was like, I was, while, well, just was because point. I knew you were dealing with Imperial encampments in that game, but I was like, were they Bretons in that game or were they actual Imperials? Apparently, they were actual Imperials. Wow, I was going to say that.
Okay. So we got, I mean, I think in Daggerfall, we got Argonians and Orcs, right?
Yes, I believe so.
And then in Morrowind, we got Imperial, apparently. And then Oblivion, we got nothing. Skyrim, we got nothing. I think they're kind of done.
They've got it pretty fleshed out. Anything, in my opinion, anything they add isn't necessarily going to enhance. It'll just it more for like flavor kind of thing. It'll be roughly the same kind of.
However, one way they could do it without doing it is back to the Khajiit, they could give us more Firstocks.
Yeah.
Yes, that's another thing that is like
they might actually do that. Well,
actually, I think I'm with you on that. Especially with that Oblivion remaster, the different like providence of where you are from that. I thought that was pretty cool. A pretty cool addition. And they could take that to the next step, which is something Bethesda tends to do, especially with the Elder Scrolls games. They'll introduce something and get a gauge for it, and they'll ramp it up in the next installation. And I think we might get some variations of a little more variation with the races we do have.
Yeah. Also, I just wanted to make sure, just so people aren't screaming at their TVs, although, like, whatever, the 21 people that played Arena for more than 45 seconds will be the only people. I was like, I actually feel like you could be an Argonian in Arena, and you could, because they're technically not lizard people really yet. They're just...
But they had lizard men in
they Arena, had so I assumed that it wasn't playable. Fought, and then they had Argonians, which look nothing like your stereotypical Argonians.
Well, so you
they kind of just look like freaky looking dark elves.
Do they look like lizard men, or do they are those like implied to be different things?
I guess lizard men are implied to be different things.
So weren't the Khajiits at that time just like
Khajiits were just people with tattoos that looked like fur?
They had tails too, didn't they?
They definitely have tails in Daggerfall.
I don't know if I don't think
they do not seem to have tails in. I've got all the gifts up right now. Yeah, no, they get tails in Daggerfall. No, they have face paint. They're humans with face paint.
Yeah, they're just furries.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a human. Yeah.
But yes.
That'd be cool to add that as a first talk. So, just like callback kind of thing.
I good luck making that look cool, I gotta say.
Well, I forget what first talk offhand. Whatever, we're not gonna go into this huge deluge of me confirming vague theories that I have in my head and that I can't piece together, but like I'm pretty sure the first stock from that is actually supposed to be one of the first stocks where it's just like it's super generic and they don't have a lot of hair, so that's why they tattoo the hair, so it's like it's this first stock. But yeah, no, I kind of like that idea. I do agree. I also do not think they are probably going to add a race.
Yeah, even though Reachman is like the most likely, I don't think it's likely enough for it to happen. But I do.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, or they pick, because a lot of times that's another thing. Each game, they kind of have a different first stock. Because some of them, it's always like, oh, well, this one doesn't look like this. And it's not the limitations of the hardware. It's, no, this is this first stock.
Which, unfortunately, they didn't have, like, it completely spelled out of what all the species were when they did make every single time, like, oh, well, our Khajiit looks a little different. And I will just make up a new first stock. That's fine. Yes. They've already completely spelled out every single now first stock. So now they have a box to fill rather than a box to create.
Right. 100%. Now, the next thing that I want to, because we've got a little bit of time still after discussing this, how far forward, since we're talking about this and talking about different races, how far forward in the timeline do you think we're going to go? You don't think we're going to lose any races, do you?
Ooh.
Oh, no. I mean, no, maybe, but it wouldn't be a large time jump.
I think the most 200 to 300 years. I don't know if they're going to jump that much.
But are you saying Altmer? Is that where you're headed?
I'm not sure. Like, I'm curious. The series doesn't always have you play out these huge series of. Sometimes you show up right after them. So at the end of Skyrim, the impending war with the Altmer is like a given. Like, this is straight up like Altmer and humans. Like, okay, this is getting to a boiling point that we are having, like, basically Tamriel-wide war at this point incoming. Yeah. And a lot of people are just, at least from what I hear, is like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to play, like, this whole war thing. And I'm like, I don't know that we're going to actually play any of that. We might come in post-war. And at that point, like, are we going to have the ramifications where the losing side, and I assume in this situation the losing side would be the Altmer purely because of the aspect of it would be weird to have the humans be the oppressed race, because I don't think that might connect as well with
it. Doesn't the create an populace. Interesting story if the good guys just keep losing, you know,
right, forever. So like in this situation, like, do they try to after basically trying to stir up everybody to hate the Altmer because they were being like all over the place? I mean, they were just a giant parallel to Nazi in Skyrim in so many different ways.
Yeah.
If this ends and I'm My thought is we are actually not going to play the next war. I think we will join the series after that has concluded, and we will be dealing with the ramifications of what happened and some type of new event as a side effect of what happened via that war and potentially the timeline not ending when it should have type of thing. So I'm wondering if we're going to see a much smaller population of Altmer, or do people get racist against all elves to like the extreme, and like now they're like a hyper minority type of thing. Like,
difficult to make interesting. It's like, hey, we're taking half of the playable races away. Isn't that fun?
Sure. I don't know if they would take them away, but more so like, would we see the removal of one or two to make the point of this type of oppression? So that's why I mention it.
I could see at most them doing that to the Altmer specifically, but even then, I don't know. I don't
think they're going to remove it because, I mean, people get pretty attached to things like that.
And they sure do.
Someone's got a favorite race and
absolutely.
If you take it away, they'll lose their mind.
Ark would go insane if they were like, oh, sorry, the Nords are dead.
I think a lot of people would go insane if they killed the Nords. That would be crazy. Altmer are like one of the least popular, though. They still have quite a bit of a following for sure, but like
they do, but I mean they did make them pretty unlike, but for a while, like,
exactly,
that's just it. You're always going to have your cult followings, but it's like weird because like sometimes you have things that people super attach to and things that people are like, oh, because I mean, look at the dichotomy with liking dark elves type of thing. So many people are like, I love these aspects. These aspects make me hyper cringe. And then
at first I thought you said ass bags. I was like, yeah, that is probably how they'd refer to them.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just it. It's just like, the thing that I love about this series is there's just no objective good guys. Everybody's just like, yeah, you're very normal because you have a
gray at best.
There's always a group of people that someone can attach to and say, this is my good guy, even though they're not. Like, everyone can pick their good guy.
Right. And you can have groups of people that you agree with, but it's just like everyone has the thing where it's like in this series, you can have two different sides where both sides want to write history that they're the ones doing what they thought was right. And they very well might be. But that doesn't necessarily also make it right compared to the other side. Like, so yeah, that's just it. It's like, I don't know. And I'm very curious. Like I said, the timeline where the next game falls is something I am just very, very interested in seeing.
Yeah. And I do think you're right that we won't get the war because often the games do build up to this very big thing. And then we just don't see that big thing.
Yes. Happen. We hear about that big thing.
Hell, after Daggerfall 2, like, there's these big climactic things that are, like, summarized in the epilogue, and they're just like, that does happen. Move on.
Right.
And we never actually, like, get a detailed review of those things. I don't remember, like, anything major after Morrowind being implied, necessarily, but that happened in Oblivion for sure.
Right. Well, the biggest thing with Morrowind, I always thought, which didn't really matter all that much at the time, necessarily, and in hindsight now it's like, oh, that's kind of crazy because it seemed like foreboding to when Morrowind,
I guess, and like Morrowind's
government falling apart and the gods just basically are either dead or missing.
I was looking into when the Oblivion remaster came out, right? I was looking up like old just goofy generic NPC dialogue. Mm-hmm. There was a guy that on a super old like Oblivion clip basically called the entirety of Skyrim like 6 years or so, or not six, it had to have been maybe 3 years, but off of a throwaway line of just someone mentioning the Nords in Skyrim and like the potential of like a civil war taking place.
Well, that's just it. Like, and one of the thing that I always find fascinating about this series, because obviously so much of it is crafted, they're making what they're covering and stuff like that now, but like even when you look at some of the older games, like when the books are coming off the shelf in Daggerfall and the fourth book comes out and it's Oblivion, and it's like, what the That is insane.
Right. Like, whatever Elder Scrolls 6 ends up being about, there are already going to be hints of that happening.
We've known about it for a while, and then we're just going to have this show and my other show, Tales of Tamriel. We're just going to sound stupid because we didn't see any of it the whole time.
Yeah, because we didn't know it was going to be a whole game. We just knew that was a line.
A line. And yeah, like, and that's just it. And it's like, again, to your point, it's not always like... We definitely play some major events, but at the same time, we miss a lot of major events as well. And it's like Morrowind, I felt, was a little more subtle for a while, where it was just like, okay, the gods are missing. And, you know, we don't really get any update on the Nerevarian. Like, it's like he just kind of peace out.
I want to say there's a slight mention to it.
He's like off wandering to the, yeah.
Not Yakuta, but the other way.
Yeah, at Mora.
All right, let's do a magic trick. I'm going to list out three different stocking stuffers that I found at Uncommon Goods, and you will magically, in your mind, see the perfect people to give these gifts to. The Greatest Chocolates of the World Exploratory Set. A mug warmer that looks like a cute cat. A do-it-yourself solar-powered robot kit. Okay, maybe that last one was for me. But it worked, right? You pictured exactly who you'd give these to. Well, that's because Uncommon Goods is different from the regular store. The holidays are almost here. It's time to start buying your gifts. And you should go look for the highest quality, unique, and often handmade in the US gifts you can't find anywhere else. They have something for everyone. Moms, dads, kids, friends, sports fans, foodies, people who really like puzzles, all sorts of people. And shopping at Uncommon Goods supports artists and small businesses. Plus, Uncommon Goods gives back $1 to a nonprofit partner of choice with every purchase, and they've donated over $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday be the year that you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
No, he
doesn't go north. Wait, where does he go?
The Akaviri.
Does he go to Akavir?
Akavir, there we go.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, he comes off.
I couldn't remember Akavir. I don't know.
Great word.
That's where he went.
That's too many A's is my problem. I always mess up at Mora and Akavir. But to that point, they're gone. And then that's okay. Vivek's not holding up Bardow anymore. So it's just like, well, that's concerning. See? And then we get, you know, the whole situation with Oblivion going down. It's like, oh, no, just kidding. Meteor strike. That's the end of Vardenfell. And now, like, this whole nightmare breaks out. The books get involved, which get real weird.
Yeah.
Real weird. And then, you know, we've got a lot of things lined up for a big event coming at the end of Skyrim.
We already have the books post-Skyrim to talk about what happened post-Skyrim a bit with the Clavicus Vial, Cloud in the Sky thing, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, we already kind of get a little bit of insight about, like, what the world is like after the Game of Skyrim because of that. So I imagine Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be after that, at the very least. Which that was already, I think, 10 years or maybe like 30 years after Skyrim. I can't remember.
What's that?
The books that came out after, they were already like a good few years after the story of Skyrim, right?
Oh, you mean the novels?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the novels are actually after Oblivion. Before Skyrim, after Oblivion.
I have it backwards. It's just
yes, it's then. After Oblivion, but before Skyrim.
Oh.
Because they actually sift through the wreckage of Vardenfell briefly.
Crazy. Oh, yes, yeah. You're right. Yes,
yeah, it's right after Oblivion.
I should read things before just saying things.
No, you're good. You're good. There's a lot of stuff. Yeah, no. They're right after Oblivion.
I had remembered it the other way.
Yeah. They're after Oblivion. But what I thought you were talking about at first, what I thought you were referring to was the fact of you've got these like weird Dremora cultures that we got to experience from that platform. Literal platform was not really the joke that I meant to make there because they're floating islands, but we experienced that, and then it's just kind of like not something we've dealt much with anymore. And it's very similar with the kind of like drifting in and out of the Oblivion side of things, but also mixing it into the normal Mundus, I guess you'd say. Like it gets a little weird because It was a very similar area to jumping. I feel the books have a lot of parallels with that, like, connection to Oblivion the way that Battlespire kind of did, because Battlespire's in, like, that little pocket, but it's, like, us accessing that little pocket, but then we're jumping in and out of parts of it. It gets real weird.
To clarify my own anachronistic mistake there, the Infernal City in the Lord of Souls books take place in the Fourth Era in the year 48, whereas Skyrim takes place in the Fourth Era year 200.
So it's not, well, in Elder Scrolls timeline-wise, it's not that far apart.
But I do think, like, we will probably skip forward minimum, like, a good 10 years after the timeline of the Skyrim, because I think that's about how long a war may have an impact for. And then it'll be post-war at the very least, or they could just really jump forward. I don't think they'll do that again. We did that with Skyrim. I don't think they'll do it again.
I don't think we're going to get the Oblivion to Skyrim-style jump, but I think we're going to get more of a jump than we saw in the previous games, where they were all really kind of in, like, this 60-year span type of thing.
Most of them took place during Septim's lifetime.
Exactly.
The character and everything before Skyrim.
I'm thinking we're going to get, like, 50 to 100 years of a jump somewhere in that time frame, where it's like we're divorced enough from the war that we're... It's almost like I don't know how to word it better, but almost like you had a post-apocalyptic thing, but the war that we're not seeing would be that post-apocalyptic. So it's like you're separate enough that things have settled back down, and this is the world now that you're part of. That's where I feel the timeline will fall.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say that's going to happen.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, Daggerfall was what? 5 years after Arena, or the game Arena apparently takes place over a 10-year timeline.
Yes,
start to end. Like
that, well, you got to go all over the place to get those pieces of the stick.
Yeah, I suppose, but it doesn't take you 10 years to walk.
I'm very slow, and the game crashes a lot.
if you take Daggerfall into account, how big that map was, and then you apply that technically Arena's
in
theory. I mean, yeah.
But put a hustle on it, though. Come on, 10 years?
Well, they didn't have the carts like you have in Skyrim that can kind of take you from place to place.
You just said that one dramatic, really tired horse that I would never realize
that I was infected
and I would die on it all the time.
The timeline of the games is almost always longer than the gaps between the games and those earlier ones. Arena was about 10 years, and then it was 5 years till the next timeline of the game, which was then Daggerfall, which was another 12 years.
Yep.
Have you guys seen the guy that he
so funny?
He was playing Oblivion and he just slept until after the time that, like, Skyrim would have taken place. The amount of time that you'd have to go back to the bed, like, that is, it's 200 funny, years. But, like, that's a lot of
technically, I think 200 plus because it's the
I love that. I love that so much.
I want to say he named his character Rip Van Winkle too, which just added to the...
So funny. I really enjoy that.
Yeah. There was a dude that did the same thing with Prison Time Served, where he just, like, years of prison, yeah.
Morrowind had a 10-year gap after Daggerfall, and then it doesn't give a range for that one. It just has the starting year, and that's it, apparently. And then we had another 6-year gap to Oblivion... And then, boom, 200 years.
Yeah, and then mega gap. Sorry, they wanted a lot of stuff to change in between.
Didn't mean
those
to interrupt. I got excited thinking about.
No, the you're dumb good.
People do.
I wanted to let you finish your thing, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to finish my history lesson there.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Realize when. Yeah.
No, for sure.
So, you know, 10 years, 6 years, you know, 5 years. These are all small jumps, and then boom, 200 years. We're probably never going to do the 200 years.
Yeah, 200 seems like a monstrous jump again. Now, the other thing, I guess, I mean, we probably should wrap this up. We're pretty close to an hour, but still, the last thing I want to bring up is, do you think we get a new era? Like, is the timeline going to finally give us a new era? Or are we still...
I don't think so.
Go ahead, Blaine.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I got theories. It's going to take a while.
I think just because the era that... So a lot of the previous games took place in, the third era? I don't think they're going to drop one game, fourth era, and be like, all right, next era. I mean, I feel like that's
a little... I can see that.
But then again, if they jump into a new era, we might get another Grey March. But
well, that'd be interesting.
That's about all I had on that. But yeah, I don't think they're doing it.
Wait, you're mute.
I'm muted.
I need to know.
No longer muted.
Okay, beautiful.
My whole theory is centered around what defines an era. And I was
wondering if you were going to ask that because that's my big thing.
Some people seem to have a very confident grasp of what they know an era is. And I'm like, I don't think that's like has any backing to it. I think that's just a good guess. And you seem really confident in it because it's really just the big thing that I can tell is every time there is a change in dynasties for the empire itself.
Yeah, that seems to be closest to.
Yeah.
But it's not even perfect because.
No, it's not.
Technically, like, they kept an era after the dynasty died for a third era after Martin Septim unfortunately, tragically passes away. Spoiler alert.
Oh, my God.
It just came out, man. Come on.
I know, right? So the Septim line is gone. So in theory, that era would end immediately. But I think the era continues on for a little bit longer, if I am correct. I don't know if it ever explicitly says how much longer, but it's kind of implied that like the third era continues on for quite a long while until the Mede dynasty begins.
Right. So it's like, no, I would agree. It seems like they're a little nebulous. There's ranges for what defines them, but they're not precise, which I guess is how history works in this entire series anyway.
So. Yeah, and the UESP page says the term era has been used archaically to refer to both a period of time around 800 years and one of 1,000 years, and numerous details are debated by scholars, blah, blah, blah. Essentially, it's just saying, oh, maybe 8 or 1,000 years is an era. But that's not true because I think this was the second era that was like 2,000 years or the first era.
Yeah.
One of them was like 2,000 years.
Right. And they used to be like, I also find it funny, it's like the before times and we have the Merithic era and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I guess real nebulous.
I think they refer to, from what I've seen, is pretty much the what should have been the like end of the term is Kelpa, right?
Yeah.
Technically, Skyrim kind of meets that. Whether or not they're gonna go to the next one, I don't think so. But it tends to line up with like a world-ending event kind of thing,
or right?
Wildly and changing.
We've discussed this a couple times. I think we got into it on the Kelpa episode, maybe. I don't know. I've recorded so many shows, I sometimes lose track of what ones we discussed and which topic. But the thought that I have with that is, like, we mentioned, like, did we screw up by preventing Alduin from
didn't want to... Yeah, this is a whole
I know, so we're not going to be able to re-go through all of this, but... I yes, also feel like 9-hour show. If we screwed something up, are we extending this Kalpa longer than it needed to go? The thing about Kalpa is, since we've only ever technically played in this one, as far as we know, when we hear about potentially other Kalpas, it seems like the whole dynamics of the world are just not the same rules. Like, they just They theoretically could have different rules entirely, but we've never played them, so that's more of a, you know, when you have, like, when it's referred to as, like, Molag Bal is the king of the dregs, and they're, like, this undersea civilization, it's just, we don't have anything like that in this.
But the ending of Skyrim could be interpreted as, we have ensured that this world is now going to end. Rather than saving the world, we have now... like promised its end.
Yeah,
we might have brought its end ourselves by killing Alduin and resetting the World Eater to restore to its original position by killing him.
Sure.
Or maybe we just removed the World Eater and now the world, this Kalpa will never end, and we're just stuck in this forever.
Yeah, and it's, well, just,
you,
like, could
reload a previous save or continue playing on in your Doom. What?
Oh my God, I love that quote. Yeah, I was gonna say the little, and the best part would be in a modern game, they don't actually say it. They literally give you that text box. It's a Morrowind joke for anybody who's not getting this analogy.
Yeah. It's like when you kill Alduin at the end of Skyrim, you just get that Morrowind text box where it's like, you have, like, severed this fate of destiny.
You have severed the prophecy and plunged the world into a never-ending darkness.
Yeah, I didn't know the
Please reload
quote.
A previous save.
But yeah, I played a bit of Morrowind and got that pop up a few times.
I got that message so many times.
But yeah, is killing Alduin ending the world? Is it promising the world will never end? Is it some other secret third thing? are we bringing in a new era? Are we bringing in a new Kalpa? Are we stuck in a timelessness for all eternity?
Yeah.
And there was also a theory of why Tamriel kind of already is a timeless world to begin with, because Alduin was technically stopped in like the Morethic era, I think, is when he was technically thrown forward in time.
Chucked forward in time, right.
And so because he's not there to recycle the timeline as he is meant to do, he's supposed to, you know, eat the world and have it be born anew to start again. Because that never happened, that is why we live in this timelessness era where technology doesn't really progress. You look at what society looked like 4,000 years ago and it's identical to what society looks like today. And you're like, why is that? Because, you know, Alduin was not able to progress us to the next time. And now that we've killed him, are we stuck even further in that timelessness? Is there just, did we break time? Did we destroy time? Or have we promised a new start? Who knows?
Exactly. All right. Well, that kind of went in weird directions to end. I mean, we started with one topic and then we came up with a whole bunch of other ones.
And that's why I think that we will get Minotaurs as a playable race.
And it all comes together flawlessly. all right. Well, I was going to say, Tom can enjoy re-listening to this and figure out our usual phrase of how did we get here?
Yeah, but, we just drop a message. Everything after the Mirthic era is a dragon break. Yeah, that's kind of my point.
Yep, exactly. So Minotaurs are back. What do you call it? But yeah, I guess on that note, Rob, got anything up? Where's what do you call it?
I was like to give a shout out to this guy, Oblivion Project, at the end. And they got some news that it got postponed.
They sure do. Do you want to actually quickly just kind of toss that out there? I mean, that happened literally right after we recorded Tales. So it's like, wow.
Yeah, of course. I was like, oh, I guess I got a new job to do at the end of the next podcast when I saw.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone knew this was going to happen, but like a lot of us knew this was going to happen because it just didn't seem feasible that they were going to finish at the end of the year. They definitely wanted to finish at the end of the year and they were trying to speed it up so that they could. But the idea was if they don't get any more momentum, then we will have to postpone it. And that is what has happened. They are going to postpone it. I don't know enough details because I'm not really on that end anymore, unfortunately.
Yep.
But it could be very, very early in next year. My guess is probably somewhere around like March. But that's, don't you know, take it or leave it. I don't have that much of an insider fact on that. So, but it has been postponed. Sky Oblivion will still be coming out, but the release date has been pushed to 2026. Vague.
Fair enough. And I mean, again, delays are fine when they result in a better product. So I think it's best that they just take their time.
Yeah.
This has been, I was just talking to Rebel a while ago. It's just like, this is such a passion project. He doesn't want to give people anything less than the best he can possibly do.
Before this call, we were talking about how it's been over 8 years since the Elder Scrolls 6 trailers dropped and how I was saying that's still bogus. We shouldn't just be like, oh, it's okay, take your time, because they were falsely creating a promise that it was coming out soon when they hadn't even started production. This is nowhere near that. This is the exact opposite. From the very beginning, they're like, hey, this is going to take a long time, but we're going to keep working through it and we'll let you know as we go. And all that's happened is, hey, this is going to take a little bit longer because we're still working on it. There's no deception. There's no trick here. There shouldn't be any reason to shame these guys for that. I don't think anyone really is. And if anyone is, they're just dumb because they don't know how this process works.
Yeah,
with
no,
a completely fan-made project.
For
they
sure.
They got busy playing the remaster, so it added a little bit to their time.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, that was actually, ironically, everybody's freaking out about that being like a negative, and it ended up kind of, I think, almost helping. Like,
I was one of those people who was definitely interest. Like, how dare they? But, you know, it is fine. It's keeping people busy while we wait for the better project, hopefully. Because I do think Sky Oblivion is going to be better than the Oblivion Remastered.
Yeah, I was going to say it very well could. I'm certainly still excited for it, so.
I'm just worried about the space, because it's a big game.
Sure is.
We'll see.
Pretty game, though.
It is. It's gorgeous.
It's real pretty. All right. Well, thank you for kind of covering that. How about you, Blaine? You up to anything?
No, I don't have too much going on. Finally just got a chance to rejoin after however many months it's been. But I accidentally hit a video. I don't have anything going on. I do want to remind don't forget the random page.
I love that.
Good spot.
Hey.
But other than that, I'm Blinding Vision. I don't have anything going on. Glad to be back.
Hell yeah. I was glad to have you back too. We hadn't gotten a chat in a while. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, and definitely check out that game when you get a chance.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You're not super busy with your.
Grail.
Extra Life is a.
Grail Tide something.
I'll send it to you.
I was going to say, I can send it to you too because I've got it linked. All right. What's this? Wow.
Tainted Grail, Fall of Avalon, if anyone wonders. Yeah.
Okay.
Tainted.
My favorite Marilyn Manson song.
So, either way, I'm Lotus of Doom. We just released an episode of Tales of Tamriel this last weekend. It had been a little while, but we actually kind of go into the fact that since we're more of a news and discussion show for roundtable stuff, with things kind of being slower on the content releases of the Elder Scrolls Online at the moment, and no other real live service games other than Castles, which we are really like, I'm glad people enjoy that stupid segment where Ark and I don't play the game until the show, and then we don't play it again until the next show. So our kingdom is always dead, and we're summoning new leaders every single show and picking the worst candidates possible. We have had to space out our shows a little bit more because we don't really want to just give you guys nothing, like, or just ramble incoherently, like, without kind of like any type of topic. So we've been spacing them out a little more, which is, you know, I hope people still enjoy them, but like, you know, we're not just going to talk about nothing. We do want to give you something, but at the same time, we've been having a little bit of a slower process of getting news together to actually make a show, which has been a little awkward. Even still fun to do that. We just released a new episode, and everybody will hear this show after my Extra Life marathon this coming weekend, so like it's the weekend of the 5th, but you're gonna actually get an extra show because we're trying to sync up with Dave, and we're gonna do a live show during the marathon, just to kind of do a end of year recap. I know a lot of people have mentioned over the years that once we started doing that people like that. So just from the UESP side. So stay tuned for that. We'll have another episode of Tales for you hopefully by next week. And other than that, I think we can just jump into the random page and close it out. The random page that I picked, anyone want to just guess which game the random page is from? Because this is a pretty random page.
Redguard.
The Storm one. What is that?
Stormhold?
One? Stormhold. That's my guess.
So it's a single card from the Elder Scrolls Legends.
Okay.
Called the Shrine Guardian, and it's an 8/8 card that costs 8, and when your opponent summons a creature, reduce its power to 0 until the start of your turn. So basically you just make your opponent lose the ability to do anything for damage for one turn. And it's a pretty good blocker. My favorite part of this is the art's kind of cool. It's a very small page, but they have, I don't know that this will go through, so we're going to try, and I hope it shows up. Two, I hope it doesn't blow everybody's eardrums out. I'm not sure you can hear this. It has the audio files of when you summon him and when you attack with him. So I just want to see.
He's a little Daedra guy.
He is a little Daedra guy.
I guess not little. He seems pretty imposed.
Wow. I don't actually know if those audio clips went through.
Hear anything.
Yeah. I'm also not sure Tom wants those audio clips to go on the file. That dude belongs in jail.
Oh, God. Yeah. I just read. Oh, God. Do you want me to give my best voice acting impression of
them? I mean, what you know what? Again?
Shrine Guardian.
Yeah, Shrine Guardians.
A lot he's got of a bit of a British accent.
Yes, he's very cultured about
feast on their marrow.
Personally, it's the defiling of the corpse that I find a little.
Yeah, that's what he says when he's summoned, and when he's attacking, the things I'll do to their corpses.
Yeesh. So on that note, have a great one, everybody, and we will see you all next week for a regular show. See you later.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
So thanks so much to Lotus for hosting the show this week. I couldn't have done it. I'm still recovering from my migraine. And thank you, everybody, for your patience with us through the holiday and trying to get everyone together to do the patron chat. We will be back next week with a regular episode. And we've got a few more this month until we've got even more holiday stuff. So, and who knows? Maybe we're going to get some crazy announcements about something Elder Scrolls related at the Game Awards. I don't know. But I do know that we couldn't do this without our patrons, patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. And welcome to our newest adventurers, Austin S., Michael I., Braden R., Ashley G., D7 Rampage, and Janessa M. Thank you so much for your support. And shoutouts to our Daedric Princes, Kira C., Blinding Vision, Hersine, Peter R., and Austin B. Thank you so much for your support as well. And to all 131 of our patrons, thanks for being here. Thanks for making this a wonderful year. If you'd like to join them and get ad-free episodes or join us for patron chats or get t-shirts and stickers, head over to patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. You can also help out the show by leaving a 5-star review on whatever podcatcher you listen to this on. If you leave 5 stars on Apple in the US, we'll read that out on a future episode. And I can't wait to be back next week feeling better. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.